The Cross-Examiner by James Pickles, with Anthony O'Donnell as David Stockwith, QC. The Cross-Examiner.
Carl, that was a fantastic dinner.
Nothing is too good for you, Penny.
I'm a-dancing. Oh, how close we were.
That modern dancing I do not understand. Contact. Mm. That is the important matter.
Oh, these 6 months. It's been the most marvelous time of my life. Will it go on forever?
If your Alex doesn't find out.
Or your Jane.
Ah, we're too clever for them.
I'm not clever, Carl. You are. And strong. Oh, so strong.
I love you, Penny.
You do mean it, Carl, you're sure?
You're fantastic.
We both are.
What did your Prime Minister say?
They say a lot, all of them. Which one?
You never had it so good?
Oh, that Mr. Wilson.
No, the other one.
Churchill. It'd be Winston Churchill.
No, Callaghan.
Was he Prime Minister?
I never had it so good. Schatzelein.
You know I don't understand Swiss.
It is German. Darling. That is what it means.
When can we live together, Carl?
Not yet. It isn't possible.
What will Jane be doing now?
Well, it's nearly 11 o'clock. She is in bed for more than half an hour, I think. She goes early in the winter. Oh. No.
What's wrong?
This hill.
What is it?
My God.
What's happening?
The brakes.
But what, Carl?
They don't work.
Try harder!
My foot. It's all the way down.
Handbrake! Use the handbrake!
No good.
Oh, Carl, we'll be killed! What can we do?
I'll put it into third.
Second! Try second! The bend! Oh, Carl!
We can't make it.
Carl, Carl!
Hold on, Penny!
Ah, sir. This your car, is it?
Yes, officer. My firm's.
Huh? What happened? Don't stay in your car.
My brakes failed.
Huh? On your own, are you?
Yes.
No passengers?
No, none.
Right. Better have your name and address.
Carl Muller. Huh? Roseway. Heath Road. Here in Westford.
Mm-hmm. Your head's cut.
It's nothing.
Any other injuries?
A few bruises.
I'll take you to hospital.
No, it's not necessary, officer.
Check up. It's better. This car's nearly new. Brakes wouldn't fail. Let's have a look under the bonnet, please. Thank you. Now, I didn't see what's caused it. I thought so.
What is it?
Brake fluid all over the place. Have you got a rag handy?
Well, in the back. I think so. This is my wife's car. I borrowed it. My Jag's giving trouble. I'll get the rag for you.
If you would, please, sir. Oh, what's this then, sir?
A musical box.
Yeah, do you mind if I... Oh, that's very neat. Yeah.
It's my firm. We import them from Switzerland. Hartley Enterprises Music Limited.
You're part of them, are you?
Mr. Hartley is my father-in-law.
Oh. What do they sell at there?
It's not possible, officer.
Oh, my youngster.
We sell it to the trade only.
Yeah, I see.
Here is the rag.
Thank you, sir. Now, I've cleaned all this away. I can have a look. Thought so.
Someone's been trying to kill you, Mr. Muller.
What?
You see those tiny holes in the brake pipes? Just there?
Yes.
Someone bored them so the fluid would leak out gradually.
Who has done this?
Any enemies?
Every person has enemies.
Any special ones?
One person, I think.
Who?
I must not say. Suspicion only.
That's the idea. He'll be asking you about it as soon as we've been to the hospital. I'll get onto the radio now.
I'm Detective Sergeant Henson.
Hello.
Feeling all right now, Mr. Muller?
Oh, yes, thank you. Much better.
PC Kent says you may know who did this.
I was wrong, I think.
Well, we'd better check it out.
Forget it, please, Sergeant.
It's serious. Attempted murder. I'll have to have a statement, so I'll take a few notes. Your age, please.
38.
You don't come from around here.
Zurich, in Switzerland. When I married, we came to live here. My wife, Jane, she was a teacher, and she brought some children to Zurich. That is how we met.
You've been married how long?
Nearly 3 years. Our son, Helmut, he is 15 months.
You sell musical boxes?
I formerly worked for the manufacturers.
Somebody's got it in for you, and we've got to find out. A business rival, perhaps?
My wife. She has been ill after Helmut was born. There has been trouble.
What sort?
Oh, arguments all the time. She has been very depressed. She imagines things.
What things, Mr. Muller?
For example, that I have been having an affair with my secretary, Mrs. Penny Earnshaw.
Her age?
About 27, I think.
Has your wife done anything like this before? The breaks?
She has said she will kill me.
Said it seriously?
In arguments. 2 days ago, she said she wanted me out of her life.
Would she know how to, bore holes in the brake pipes?
I found an old diary of Jane's from when she was 18. She went to a class for motor vehicles.
And she's how old now?
31.
She's never told you about the course?
We never talked about it. The firm serviced our cars.
Can you get the diary?
I will look.
It's the sort of thing Chief Inspector Creeder likes to hold back for when they're cross-examined in court.
George Creeder's on this case.
You know him, do you?
Oh, I have heard of him. Will Jane be charged?
I don't know yet. Is your life insured?
About 6 weeks ago, I started a new policy for £75,000.
Your wife knows?
I told her, naturally.
And you've made a will?
Jane and Helmut get it all.
Mr. Creeder will want to see you, and then your wife.
You said you're a detective chief inspector.
Creeder, sorry to descend on you like this, Mrs. Muller, and so late. Oh, don't be alarmed, but your husband...
Carl, he's had an accident.
You know?
How could I?
It doesn't seem to surprise you.
What's happened?
Oh, his car left the road and hit a wall. He's a bit shaken.
Where is he now?
Making a statement. The brakes of the car had been sabotaged.
But he was in my car.
Mrs. Muller, was it your idea that he should take it?
Carl said his wasn't going very well, so I did suggest.
He could have been killed.
You're not saying I was the person who...
You and your husband have been having arguments?
Like all married people.
You've accused him of having an affair with his secretary.
Penny Earnshaw, yes, it's true. I heard them on the telephone arranging to meet. A friend of mine saw them at the theatre at Cross Trees. And I think Carl was with her last night. I followed him.
When did things start to go wrong?
After Helmut was born, he seemed to resent him. And he went, cold on me. It had been perfect. It was love at first sight for me.
And for him?
I think he did love me at first. He said he did.
You were depressed?
After the baby was born, yes.
Not now?
Not like that. I've been very worried. Carl doesn't want me anymore.
He has a lot of life insurance.
Mr. Creeder, if you're accusing me...
Just inquire.
I'd better speak to my solicitor.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that, Mrs. Muller. Innocent people don't need solicitors. I think we'd better sort this out down at the station.
Do I have to?
You don't mind assisting the police?
My father, I want him there.
Well, he can be notified. That's your right. Section 62. I'll ring him from the station.
But can he be there?
Later, perhaps.
There's nobody to look after Helmut.
I'll ring for a nurse.
Come and sit down, Carol. Nice to see you.
Bill asked me to bring you this brief.
How is our faithful clerk? Abrasive as ever.
The DPP wants you to read it and give him an answer tomorrow, Duffin.
I wasn't going to go into chambers tomorrow.
Oh, this ultra-modern luxury flat of yours has a telephone.
I don't know about modern or luxury. It's a mess. My woman only comes in twice a week.
Woman, eh?
To clean.
How often do the others come?
Others?
Tovish, I've known you ever since I joined the best barrister's chambers on the circuit.
You've come to flatter your head of chambers, have you, Carol?
No.
Flattery will get you everywhere, of course. It does at the bar. Go to the right school and university, flatter the right people, solicitors especially. Never offend anyone who can help you or harm you. And you're a certainty for the High Court bench.
Me?
Well, being the youngest and most nubile QC on the circuit is enough for you.
Oh, come off it, I'm 40. Who's flattering now?
I mean it.
So says every womanizer.
Me?
You, David Stockwith.
You turned me down.
I'd only joined the chambers a day or two before. The others didn't want me in. You fought for me gallantly. And they let me in. But before I'd had time to sit down, you tried to seduce me.
I got nowhere.
You'll never know how near you came.
To victory?
David, you're a very attractive seducer.
Where has he got me? Didn't stop Harriet leaving me last year for a dithering dentist.
I don't blame her. I don't blame any wife married to a man like you.
We had a good life. A home, our son, friends, holidays, a pattern.
And all your women.
I always told Harriet.
Cruel.
Honest. She understood. She should have. She'd gone off. Wives do. Ah, the ecstasy had gone. It does. The most essential thing for an enduring marriage is a mistress.
Only one?
One at a time.
Your marriage didn't endure?
Life was good for Harriet and me. She had everything she wanted.
Except a loyal husband. Oh, she had an eloquent, charismatic QC.
And now she has a dull dentist who fiddles around in patients' messy mouths, getting their bad breath up his narrow nostrils.
But a loyal man, dependable and secure.
If that's what she wants.
Dovid, that's what every woman wants, except the very young.
Who are ruled by sensuality.
As men are to the end.
I haven't quite reached the end. I hope not.
You're hopeless.
But you like me, Carol.
A bit. You're dangerous, though. Womanizers always are.
A womanizer wants it whatever, indiscriminately. I only sleep with women I'm in love with.
David, have you been drinking?
Good idea. What will you have?
I'm driving.
Sherry, the best Amontillado, if I remember. I have just that. For me, another brandy.
The best, of course.
Of course.
You and I are against each other on Thursday.
Yeah, here we are. Here's to us, Carol.
Thanks. Cheers.
One day it will be. It has to be. A belated blossoming. A winter of content. A plethora of passion. An enduring ecstasy. A flame of... fornication?
Now you've spoilt it.
I always do, Carol. I spoil everything. And I'm really very sad. Which case are we in?
Jane Muller, attempted murder. You're prosecuting.
I've read the brief. Well, sometimes I do read a brief before the case actually starts. It's here. Interesting. The school teacher who spiked the brakes. When I read it, well... I'd better not say.
Oh, go on, Dovin.
You're defending her. Wouldn't be right.
You can't stop now.
As the actress said.
Oh, come on, Bishop. Tell me you must. I shan't use it.
Didn't read like a true bill.
Tell me more.
Well, a woman like her boring holes in brake pipes?
You haven't met her.
Have you?
Tomorrow at the prison.
God knows women can be devious, but somehow...
The motives are there.
But the method.
What about the replies she made to Chief Inspector Creeder?
Oh, the verbals. You and I know George Creeder, the best verbaler in the business, and so convincingly quiet in the box.
So you'll be dropping the case?
Your Jane will get off, bound to. But I shall put her through the hoop.
The best cross-examiner in the business.
If you're after my body, you can have it.
I've seen you take so many witnesses apart.
We'll see what happens. This is your first big case since you took silk.
And I have to be against David Stockwith.
Technique is no substitute for evidence. There isn't enough against your little schoolteacher who fell for the older man, the smooth Swiss who had an eye for Daddy's money.
You have read the brief.
Ah, as life gets more and more tedious, I concentrate on the few really interesting cases.
You need a holiday.
Weltschmerz.
Eh?
That's what I've got.
I'm not sure what it means.
Neither am I. Literally, world pain.
The Germans can be very gloomy.
Even the Welsh. Carol. I know you won't breathe a word.
Go on.
I'm going to apply for a circuit judgeship.
Oh, no. Oh, not you, David. You've always been so...
Anti-establishment?
Power corrupts and all that. You've often said it.
It's true.
And you're too young for the bench.
46. There's nothing new anymore. I've flogged every angle on every crime in the book. I'm jaded.
A judge's life is more relaxed.
And what else am I qualified for?
It'll be surrender. You used to be an idealist, even when I met you. You were a flaming torch in your young days, they said. On the local council, standing for Parliament, writing letters to the New Statesman.
Youth is a flaming torch.
Now it's a faint flicker?
I still want to change things. To drag this profession of ours kicking and screaming into the 19th century.
You mean 20th?
I mean 19th. We're still in the 18th century. We wear the same wigs and robes. The Etonians and their likes still rule us, striding their privileged way to the top and sitting on us. The bench is still crammed with public school and Oxbridge men.
And now you want to join them?
Hypocrisy.
If you get on the bench, you'll have to pipe down.
Well, maybe I'll do more good there than I can now.
When did you last take up a cause, Dorrit? I don't mean at the dinner table.
Well, my fight to let women join the circuit, miss?
That was years ago.
Carol, I am a radical.
And your card will have been marked.
The Lord Chancellor's office won't appoint me.
They gave you silk. Non-ability, there's no question. But they don't want judges who rock the boat. They want a smooth ride.
And oddballs like me.
Have a word with C.W.
His word is bound to count. They always consult the senior presiding judge on appointments.
I must go. Read the Mueller brief again.
For tomorrow.
Your father wanted to come too, Mrs.
Oh, Dad. Dad, how's Helmut?
Fine, love. He gets on fine with your Auntie June. I see him every day.
Oh, I wish I could.
Oh, don't upset yourself.
You'll soon see him, love. Oh. You're going to get off, isn't she, Mrs. Pitting?
That's what it's all about.
You do believe I'm innocent.
I don't have to.
What then?
Well, I present your case.
I swear I didn't do it.
Well, who else had a motive?
Oh, you don't believe me.
Please, Mrs. Muller. If there's someone else who had a motive, then I want to
there
know...
There is.
Who?
Me.
Oh, not you, Dad.
I couldn't stand Carl Muller.
I know now, I should have listened to you.
All very charming to your face. But Carl's got to have his own way. And he was carrying on with Penny Earnshaw.
Proof?
Jane's word's good enough for me.
We need evidence.
What's more, he was fiddling.
Money?
I couldn't prove it, till he left and went back to Switzerland. We reckon he had about $5,000.
Why did you set him up in business?
For Jane.
The business did quite well.
Is the firm still going?
No, we had to close it.
Carl went back to work for the manufacturers.
They cut off supplies.
Could Penny have had a motive?
Only if Carl had thrown her over.
No, I'm sure he hadn't.
The friend of yours who saw them at the theatre, she's gone back on it. She won't come to court.
Oh.
And we can't find the house where Carl went when you followed him.
Oh, but I could take you there.
They still refuse bail.
Oh, dear.
We don't want to make too much of the Penny affair. It shows Carl's word isn't to be trusted, but we don't want to ram home your motive.
My motive?
Possible motive.
Oh, God, it's lucky, I hope.
Nay, we're going to win.
I have to stay and prove. I can't stand it, Mrs. Penny. I should go mad. I'm sharing a cell with two prostitutes. And what'll happen to Helmut? Carl will get him. I'll never see him again.
Let's concentrate on the case.
Who's prosecuting?
David Stockwith, QC.
Oh, I've heard of him.
I've seen him demolish a witness who hasn't told the truth.
Oh, it's getting worse and worse.
You will tell the truth, Jane.
Do I have to give evidence?
It's usually best, unless the prosecution case is very thin.
The jury will laugh it out of court.
If it weren't for Chief Inspector Creeder's evidence...
I swear I never said all those things.
Well, the police are bent.
Well, some are.
Well, the judge will pick him out, won't he?
Possibly.
Now, who is the judge?
Mr. Justice Carter White. He means well. An old Harrovian. He was at the commercial bar, charter parties and bills of lading. His hobby is numismatology.
It's what?
Isn't that old coins?
CW is one of the leading experts. He goes all over the world looking for coins and addressing conferences. He's a Latin and Greek scholar.
Oh.
Bit short on common sense, though.
Mrs. Pidding, this case means everything to me.
Oh, there are worse judges. Now, we'll have to give more thought to this question of motive.
I thought I'd better have a word with you, Judge, before I put in my application.
Glad you have, Stockwith.
I may be too young.
Not necessarily. They're short of good chaps. But there may be other things. I was looking at your file the other day. About 5 years ago, you gave a talk at some university.
Bristol?
Oh, some red brick place. You wanted to abolish the office of Lord Chancellor. I couldn't believe it.
There's a case for having a Minister of Justice sitting in the Commons.
The office of Lord Chancellor goes back hundreds of years.
I know, Judge.
Have you ever seen the procession to the Woolsack?
Pomp and ceremony can be overdone.
According to the file, I'll be quite frank. There is a note from the Lord Chancellor himself, the present one. At this talk, you accused him of nepotism.
The press weren't there.
Small world, ours.
Lord Grantley has appointed some of his political pals to the bench. It does happen.
But Starkwith, the thought of changing that ancient office...
The thought of changing anything goes against the grain with some people.
Changes have to be oh so gradual, almost imperceptible. That's the English way.
Unfortunately.
Do you want to be a judge, Starkwith?
I wouldn't be here.
Keep a low profile, that's my advice, a very low profile from now on. When they're appointing to the bench, they go for reliability, discretion. Oh, I know you've come on a lot since your young days, it's all in the file. You were a bit wild then, actually stood for Parliament for them. You've lived that down, don't worry about that, no. Oh, yes, I'll be fair about it.
Well, thank you, Judge.
You're in the attempted murder tomorrow.
Jane Muller, I'm prosecuting.
What an appalling thing. Boring into the brake pipes of her own car and getting her husband to drive it.
That's the allegation.
Women never got up to that sort of thing in the old days. It's all this women's lib nonsense and burning their watsits and all that.
I'll keep a low profile on that one, Judge.
It is an interesting case, David.
What did you make of Frau Muller?
I was with her for 2.5 hours.
I read it again. If you leave out Inspector Creed as evidence, what is there? Motive and opportunity, but no solid evidence.
This is ironical.
What?
I can't say.
Go on.
I can't.
I told you. Come on, Carol.
David, you and I may be on the wrong sides.
You mean that you think she did it?
I haven't said so.
You've been using that intuition of yours.
A useful instrument.
Unless she's told you she did it.
I wouldn't be defending her. She says she's not guilty, so...
Like cabs on the rank, we barristers. We go where the fair tells us. Whether we like it or not. See you in court, Carol.
Mr. Muller. When did you decide to get rid of your wife?
When did I...
It's a simple question.
I am not on trial.
You're the main prosecution witness. If your wife is found guilty, you will get rid of her.
Will I?
She will go to prison, and you will be able to divorce her. Is that what you want?
My lord, those are two questions in one.
Yes, Mrs. Bidding.
As your lordship pleases. Mr. Muller, do you want your wife to go to prison?
That is nothing to do with me.
And divorce?
She tried to kill me. There is no future.
Did you make the holes in those brake pipes and then turn your car into the wall?
My lord, this is ridiculous.
You were only slightly injured.
Why should I risk killing myself? I could have left my wife.
Then you would have had to pay her.
I do not know the English law.
Have you not heard of maintenance and lump sum payments?
I have heard, yes.
And you had a motive for getting rid of your wife?
I know what you will say.
Wait for the question, Mr. Muller.
You were having an affair with your secretary, Mrs. Penny Earnshaw.
That is false. Jane imagines many things. Her mind, it was disturbed.
Does Penny Earnshaw attract you?
She is an attractive person.
Does she attract you?
But that is logical. I am, however, a married man.
Don't be naive, Mr. Muller.
My lord, my learned friend should not insult the witness.
Mrs. Spidding, comments like that really don't assist.
Mr. Muller, did you increase the insurance on your life 6 weeks before the accident?
About that time, yes.
To £75,000?
Yes.
Why?
For my wife. And for Helmut, my son.
But you were having a very difficult time with your wife.
She was sick. It was not her blame. I had a responsibility.
Were you creating an apparent motive for your wife to kill you?
I do not understand.
I'll leave it there, Mr. Muller. No further questions.
My lord, my next witness is Detective Chief Inspector Creeder.
Finally, I put it to Mrs. Muller that it was she who interfered with the brakes. She did not reply. She just sat there. I put the question 3 times in all. And then she said, all right, if that's what you think, have it your way. Yes, I did it. Then she burst into tears and sobbed uncontrollably. I thought it right to break off the interview.
When did you resume?
Half an hour later. In the meantime, the defendant's solicitor had arrived, and I let him see her. He advised her not to answer any further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Creeder.
Chief Inspector, the defendant had been told that she was not obliged to answer any questions at all.
The words of caution.
Why was no other officer present at the interview?
They were all engaged on other duties.
You took no notes during the interview?
That is not my practice. It interrupts the flow.
It would be some guarantee of accuracy.
Well, I've had a lot of experience.
And a lot of criticism in court.
Well, we expect that. It's part of the job.
Juries have not always accepted your evidence.
With all respect to my learned friend, is that a proper question?
I don't think it is, Mrs. Bidding. You see, juries do not give reasons for their verdicts.
Mr. Creeder, when you saw the defendant at her house, did she ask to see a solicitor?
Not that I can recall.
Did you tell her that if she was innocent, she didn't need a solicitor?
I would never say that. It's improper.
Did Mrs. Muller ask that her father, Mr. Hartley, be present at the interview?
I rang him and told him where the defendant was.
Did he come to the police station and ask to see his daughter?
I was still interviewing her.
Why could he not have been present?
Relatives interfere. Things get out of hand.
When you had written your notes of the interview, was the defendant still at the station?
She was.
Did you read them to her and ask her to sign them as accurate?
That is not my practice.
So, it was several weeks before the defendant knew your account of the interview.
It would be.
Did she take any notes herself?
I didn't see her taking any.
That puts her at considerable disadvantage, does it not?
I didn't invent the system, Mrs. Pidding. I just follow it.
Mrs. Muller, we have to decide if you're going to give evidence.
Oh, dear.
What do you think, Mr. Hartley?
How did the jury know that Carl didn't fix it himself?
Yes, he looked very shifty when you asked him.
If you don't go into the witness box, the jury may hold it against you. Oh. I know they shouldn't. And they'll have only Creeder's version of the interview.
He's an obvious liar.
He'll tear me to pieces, won't he, Mr. Stockwell?
Just tell the truth.
I'll be fed to a lion.
He can't break a truthful witness.
I shall get mixed up. Say something silly.
Oh, take it steadily.
I don't have any option, do I?
Lastly, Mrs. Muller, look at the jury and tell them. Did you tamper with that car?
No, I did not.
Did you try to kill your husband?
I swear I did not.
My learned friend will have some questions for you.
May we take it, Mrs. Muller, that when you and your husband married, you thought you loved him?
I did love him deeply. I'd never felt like that about anybody.
When did you begin to doubt your love?
Well, after Helmut was born, Carl didn't like it when I couldn't give him all my attention. He didn't have any patience.
Did your feelings for him pass from love to indifference?
You could say that.
And from indifference to positive dislike?
only when I found out about him and Penny Earnshaw.
Your husband had transferred his affection from you to another woman.
Exactly.
And you could not tolerate it?
Could any wife, any normal wife?
Did you begin to think about ending the marriage?
I tried. I did try. I pleaded with him night after night after night. I wanted him back.
But to no avail?
No.
So it was hopeless, you thought?
The marriage... It wasn't a marriage anymore. It had no meaning.
Were you wondering how to end it?
I was all confused. I didn't know what to do.
If the marriage had no meaning, then you did not wish it to continue.
No.
So it had to be ended.
But if you put it like that... Yes, I suppose so.
There were only two ways of ending the marriage, divorce or death.
Well, yes.
Had you any ground for divorce?
Ample.
Which ground?
Cruelty and adultery.
Ah. Take cruelty. We call it unreasonable behaviour now. They are much the same. Was Karl Müller ever violent to you?
Not physically.
In any other way?
He said some very nasty, cruel things.
Well, tell us the worst thing he ever said.
Oh, it's hard to remember.
Well, do your best, please.
He used to say I was round the bend.
During arguments?
Yes.
Did you ever say unkind things to him?
Oh, yes.
Did your husband keep you short of money?
I had an income from the firm. I didn't work there, but I was a director.
Well, did you lack anything? Anything material? You went on expensive holidays.
To Switzerland, mostly.
You would not resent your husband's visiting the land of his birth?
Oh, no.
Where his relations live?
I never resented that.
In what respect, then, was your husband cruel to you, madam?
He didn't consider my feelings.
Do you think you could divorce him for that, even these days? Did you take legal advice?
No, I was too ashamed.
Now, adultery. You had suspicions, but what evidence?
I heard Carl and Mrs. Earnshaw on the telephone arranging to meet.
To meet where?
I can't remember.
Well, how would you know they were not meeting for business purposes?
And a friend of mine saw them at the theatre.
Is that the person here?
She won't come.
Then that is hearsay. We need direct evidence.
I just knew they were carrying on.
Knowledge must be supported by facts that can be proved.
Carl had gone off me. He didn't want me anymore. Physic.
Had you gone cold on him?
No, not till the Penny affair started.
Such things... Coldness do happen in a marriage if the couple are at odds.
I thought it'd be beautiful. It was at the start.
So you had no evidence for a divorce. As an intelligent woman, you knew that, did you not? Did you not, Mrs. Müller?
If I'd thought about it.
Was the only other way of ending the marriage Karl Müller's death?
You're putting words into my mouth.
I'm asking you to put words into your mouth.
This isn't fair.
If counsel is unfair to you, Mrs. Müller, I will stop it.
You told your husband you wanted him out of your life. What did you mean?
I didn't want him dead.
What did you mean?
I couldn't kill anybody, not even an animal.
If your husband had gone back to Switzerland, it would have been hard for you to claim money from him.
I don't know.
Well, Mrs. Pidding has already made the point. It is obviously harder to get money out of a husband who resides abroad.
Is it?
If you disagree with me, please say so.
Oh, you're too clever for me, Mr. Stockwith.
Mrs. Müller, I want you to listen very carefully to my next question. Did you know how the hydraulic braking system of a motor car works? I mean, before this case.
Not really. You press the pedal and, well...
Would you have known how to puncture brake pipes? Would you, madam?
No, I wouldn't.
Are you sure? Think carefully. Do you wish to change your answer?
No.
Please, sir, look at this diary and tell me if it is in your handwriting. Take your time.
How did you get this?
Is it written by you?
It's a very old one.
12 years old. Please open it at the marker. Look at the entry for the 4th of October. Read it to yourself.
I'd forgotten about this.
Did you start an evening course on that day?
Well, according to this...
Can you not remember?
I was how old?
18.
It's a very long time ago. A lot has happened.
Does your diary record you starting a course on vehicle maintenance?
Yes, I remember something about this. I was learning to drive. My father bought me an old car, a Mini.
Did you complete the course?
Oh, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't start it and not finish it.
I have the syllabus of that course in my hand, Mrs. Muller. There was detailed instruction on hydraulic brakes. Would you care to see it?
If you say so.
Including the position and function of the brake pipes.
I never did my own maintenance. I didn't need to. My father's companies, they did it all.
Did you lie when you denied knowing how the braking system worked?
No, not a lie, no.
But you say you would have completed the course.
I've been confused for months, all that's happened. You got me mixed up.
Are you complaining about me?
No, you're doing the job you're paid for.
How could you forget all that you learned on that course?
I've had electric shock treatment.
I have no wish to upset you. But... has your memory been affected in any other respect?
How would she know?
A fair point. Up to a point. Mrs. Muller, you would know, surely, if others had told you you had forgotten things. Have they?
Not really.
Then I will pass on. Had you ever met Detective Chief Inspector Creeder before he came to your house?
Never.
He would know that... you are a person of excellent character.
I expect so.
Why should Mr. Creeder invent evidence against you?
To get a conviction.
Against you? A respectable housewife? Why?
The police do sometimes. Everybody knows.
Just think, madam. If you were a person of known wickedness, a police officer might think you guilty and be tempted to bend the rules. But you are not such a person.
He could have still thought I was guilty.
He does not attribute to you a detailed confession.
He does!
The words, I did it! If he was making it up, he could have recorded you as saying, I took a drill and lifted the bonnet, and so on. Convincing details.
He could have said anything he wanted.
That is the precise point I am making. He could have attributed to you a full and detailed confession, but he hasn't.
Oh, you're trying to make a fool of me, Mr. Stockwith.
Mrs. Muller, it really does not help to make remarks like that. It does not help you...
Oh, my Lord... please, I don't know where I am.
I'm about to take you through the interview.
Oh, I'm all confused.
Oh. We will adjourn a little early for lunch. That will give the defendant time to compose.
Mrs. Billing, he's crucifying her.
She knew what to expect.
I'm sure she never finished that course.
She said she would have.
Stockwith is taking advantage of her. She's like she was after Helmut was born. She's gone to pieces. I must go and have a word with her.
No, Mr. Hartley.
Why not?
It's against the rules. Jane is still giving evidence.
What rules?
You can't tell her what to say.
Well, somebody's got to. They're destroying my daughter. Could you do something? What do you think I'm paying you for?
Oh, calm yourself, please, Mr. Hartley.
Are you feeling better now, Mrs. Muller?
A bit, thank you.
Ah. Let us look at some of the replies the Chief Inspector says you made. Question. Did you say to your husband that you wanted him out of your life? Your reply, yes, it was hopeless. I tried everything, but I knew he didn't want me anymore.
I can't remember saying all that.
But it is precisely what you're saying today, is it not?
Well, more or less.
Mr. Creeder's next question. Did it occur to you that you would be better off financially if your husband died in this country? Your reply, that was obvious.
I definitely didn't say it was obvious. Definitely not.
But it was obvious, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
Question. Did it cross your mind that your husband might be killed in a car crash? Your reply, I did think about that possibility.
No, never. I never said that. No,
it
no.
It is a possibility that can happen to any one of us at any time, surely.
I suppose so. Yes, I suppose so.
Next, you admitted to the Chief Inspector that you had had the opportunity to tamper with the brakes.
Did I? Did I say? Were you there, Mr. Stockwith?
Mrs. Muller, you are not doing justice to yourself, you know.
Was the interview interrupted when you broke down and could not continue?
Yes, yes, yes. He went on and on at me, just like you are doing.
Was the question that caused you to break down this? Was it you who interfered with the brakes? Was that the question?
No, no, no.
And did you eventually reply, all right, if that's what you think, have it your way, I did it.
I never said that. I never said anything like that. I swear I didn't.
I suggest to you, Jane Muller, that you were the person who tried to kill the husband whom you so much detested.
Oh, no, please, no. Believe me, no, please, I didn't. I didn't. No, no, no.
Members of the jury, you may well feel some sympathy for the defendant. She is certainly not to be blamed for the depression she suffered after the birth of a child. And, let us be fair, she may have been treated by her husband with less than full understanding. But even if you were to consider the defendant's suspicions about him and his secretary had some foundation, and there is no evidence to support them, that does not excuse what she did. Indeed, it would clearly establish her motive to end the marriage in the only way open to her. The defendant knew that her husband was to drive her car that evening. There is no dispute about that. It is further agreed by the defense that Mrs. Muller had every opportunity to interfere with the brakes of her car. Did she have the knowledge? This question goes to the very heart of the case, you may think. Did she tell a deliberate lie on oath about that knowledge? Why was she not frank with you from the start? Remember, of course, her explanation about electrical shock treatment and loss of memory. But the defendant does not say that her memory had been affected in any other area. Finally, did she use the words, I did it, to Detective Chief Inspector Creeder? Did what? Why should that experienced and senior officer invent them? Whatever sympathy you may feel for Mrs. Muller, it is no duty of yours any more than it is of mine to give effect to such feelings. I submit that the defendant has been proved beyond doubt to have tampered with those brakes with only one possible intent, to end the life of another human being and in the most treacherous manner conceivable.
Ah, come in, Stockwith.
Mrs. Pidding, come and have a cup of tea while we're waiting for the jury.
Very kind, Judge.
Thank you, Judge.
Help yourselves.
I'll do it.
She walked straight into your trap, Stockwith, in the diary.
Yes.
Jury didn't like it. See it in their faces. That sort of thing swings a case. I doubt if they'll be long. But after that sorted little affair. Have you read this book?
No, Judge.
Not my field.
Greece in the 7th century B.C., with particular reference to the invention of money.
Oh, it certainly was a good idea, to invent money.
The book we've all been waiting for.
Have we?
Beautifully written.
Interesting, Judge.
Are you interested, Mrs. Pidding?
Well, yes, I am.
Oh, lend it to you.
That's very kind.
After I've read it again. It's a perfect antidote to all this dismal crime you and I have to wade through. School teachers who try to polish off their husbands. Oh, I wonder sometimes if we're on the right track. Prisons are full. Why not bring back outlawry?
You think so, Judge?
Who'll play Robin Hood?
You, Dovid.
You can be the Sheriff of Nottingham, Judge.
Another thing I'd do, confiscate their television sets.
And their video recorders?
What is a video recorder?
For showing blue films.
Confiscate those, certainly. The working classes get far too excited these days. Bromide in the tap water. How about that?
Well, you and I could always have champagne for breakfast, Judge, and bath in ass's milk.
Members of the jury, are you agreed upon your verdict?
We are.
Do you find the defendant, Jane Muller, guilty or not guilty of attempting to murder Carl Muller?
We find her guilty.
And that is the verdict of you all?
Unanimous.
Jane Muller, this offence was carried out with care and cunning. You tried to end the life of a man whom it was your duty to protect. What you did might well have caused loss of life to others who were entirely unconnected with your sordid grievances against your husband. You must go to prison for 7 years.
No! No! Oh, my Lord, no, please! I'm innocent! Please! No, I didn't know! I didn't
know! Silence! All stand, please.
I'm very surprised about the verdict, Carol.
Are you?
I was sure she'd get off. There wasn't enough evidence. You must appeal.
We shall.
Here, I heard that, Mr. Duckworth.
Mr. Hartley.
You think my daughter's innocent, but it was you that did her down.
Mr. Hartley, please.
I thought barristers were supposed to be decent people.
Come into the robing room.
All that posh talk.
We don't want a scene out here.
I'm not letting it drop.
You can appeal.
Come in here.
I did hear you right, didn't I, Mr. Stockwith?
I didn't realize who you were.
Never mind what I am. What are you?
I had a job to do.
You crucified my daughter.
No, Mr. Hartley.
It'll kill her. Kill her. I always knew lawyers were crooked.
Come and see me in my chambers.
What's the use? British justice. A load of crap.
He's bound to be upset.
You did pull out all the stops, Dorrit.
The jury thought she did it.
12 untrained laymen swayed by your Welsh eloquence.
She seemed a nice woman.
You were punishing her.
Punishing?
For being a woman.
Don't be absurd, Carol.
You like women, yes. For what you can get from us. Sex, mostly. You use us. But in your heart, you despise us.
What sort of amateur psychology is this?
I've never seen you so destructive.
But I was sympathetic. Her depression, I understood all that.
She'll be depressed now.
You thought she was guilty.
It wasn't proved.
That woman would never have bored through those brake pipes to just the right depth.
You didn't say that to the jury.
Cabs on the rank.
You used to be an idealist.
I still am.
The clear, bright ideals of youth. They get worn away.
In presenting the case for the Crown and Mr. Peel, Mr. Stockwith has conceded that the diary which was produced in evidence must have had an effect on the minds of the jurors, and what he says was a marginal case, one that could have gone either way. Mr. Stockwith also concedes that had the diary for the following year been available at the hearing, this might have affected jurors' minds. The new diary, which only came to light recently, shows that the appellant did not in fact complete the vehicle maintenance course and did not attend lessons on the braking system. We have considered this very carefully, but in the end we are not minded to interfere with the verdict of the jury. The summing up was fair, and the verdict was unanimous. We do not consider that there has been any substantial miscarriage of justice. We are, however, persuaded that 7 years' imprisonment in the case of a woman of previous good character is too long. Her sentence is accordingly reduced to 6 years' imprisonment.
I have some news for you, Muller.
My appeal, sir.
Yes, but,
Oh, no. No.
Your sentence has been reduced to 6 years.
I can't face it.
There is more good news. You're to be transferred to the open prison at Bendel. It's much better there. It's a big house with, grounds, tennis. But I have to warn you that it will be easy to walk out. If you do, you'll come back here, and it will go against you when your release is considered.
Another urgent brief for me from the DPP, Carol.
Bill sent this envelope.
Or is it a pretext for you to come to my flat?
No.
Is there hope for me yet?
No.
After years of battering at your heart, are you about to lift the drawbridge?
Hearts don't have drawbridges.
Do women QCs have hearts?
Yes.
Have you eaten this evening?
No.
Well, you could cook yourself something here.
Ah, and cook you something, too.
Ah, my goose?
You are a goose sometimes, David.
But you like me.
A bit. MCP, though you are.
And after dinner, who knows?
I know. Every move by both of us. Sorry, David.
The loss is yours. My invitation is withdrawn. I was only after your body. Stick to your senile solicitor.
Cuthbert isn't senile.
With a name like that, he has to be.
He didn't choose it.
He could have changed it. I'm not expecting anybody.
One of your women?
She'll have to wait a turn.
She can have mine.
Not till I've had it. It
could be Mr. Whittington. He feeds my cat.
Mr. Stockwith.
Yes?
I wasn't sure without your wig.
Aren't you...
Jane Muller.
My goodness.
I'm sorry to disturb you.
Yeah, how on earth...
I have to speak to you.
I'm sorry.
Please, Mr. Stockwith, don't close the door.
It's impossible.
Please.
You're wet through.
It's rained all evening.
You'd better step inside for a minute.
Thank you.
Come into the kitchen. You can take your coat off and put it by the stove.
I'm very grateful.
Have you been released?
I walked out.
Was that wise?
I had to.
They're bound to find
you. You're the last person. There's no one else now.
Your lawyers?
Oh, hopeless.
There's one of them in there, Mrs. Pidding.
Is she a friend of yours?
Some of my best friends are QC.
She said there's nothing more she can do.
What can I do?
I'm innocent, Mr. Stockwith, and you know I am.
Well...
My father told me.
The case is over.
You knocked me down. I want you to help me up again.
There's nothing...
My last hope.
It isn't proper even talking to you.
The case is over.
If you had more evidence...
How?
Difficult.
Carl must know the truth.
He went back to Switzerland, didn't he?
He's trying to get custody of Helmut. My son will be brought up over there. He won't know me.
Come and have a word with Mrs. Piddy. Carol, a client of yours.
I recognise the voice. Why are you here, Mrs. Muller?
I want justice.
We did everything...
I didn't do it.
Mr. Stockwith can't help.
Then who can?
You must go back to prison immediately.
You lose remission.
I shall lose Helmut.
Well, some things have to be accepted.
Accept that I lose my son. Accept that I rot in there for years and years when I've done nothing wrong to anybody. All those wonderful things we hear about our great British justice, the best in the world. Hypocrisy. A charade, a great big play-acting game by lawyers who are doing it for one thing, money. Oh, very, very cosy. You two sitting here and chatting like the old pals you are. I'm just water under the bridge, another case, another fee. I could rot in there for years and years. But what do you care, either of you?
Mrs. Muller, I'm very sorry for you, and I'm sure Mr. Stockwith is. I know he went at you hard in court.
Too hard.
But let's face it, whether you should be a prisoner or not, you are one. Now you're an escaped prisoner. If Mr. Stockwith harbours you, it is a very serious offence. It could ruin his career.
I should have known.
We could ring the prison.
Put in a word for you.
Tell them you're on the way.
The police could send a car.
No.
I'll get your coat.
I'll find my own way back.
They may not have missed you.
Oh, they'll have missed me. They won't worry. I'm not dangerous. I can't get far. I expect I'll be sent back to a closed prison.
You really should have thought of that.
You're doing the right thing, Mrs. Muller.
I was wrong about you, Mr. Stockwith. Good night.
Good night, Mrs. Goodbye. Muller.
It's very sad.
It would have been disastrous for you, David.
Why have I to think of myself the whole time?
Disastrous.
Oh. Mrs. Muller!
No, David.
Come back!
I'm warning you.
Yes, Mr. Stockwith?
I want to talk to you.
Yes?
Come inside.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
David, your prospects are... No, you know.
I do know.
Damned.
Maybe.
Irrevocably. Think, man, think.
I have.
I'm having no part in it. I'm going.
Will you report me, Mrs. Piddy?
I don't think my duty goes quite that far.
Good.
But if anyone asks me...
Fair enough.
Goodbye.
Good night, Carol.
Bye.
Well, there we are.
Come and sit down, Mrs. Muller.
Thanks.
Take your coat off again. What about a brandy?
Oh, yes, please.
Has the rain gone through your coat?
No, not really.
My ex-wife left a few clothes when she decamped for New Zealand with our dentist.
Oh, dear.
And he'd had free access to my mouth.
I'm not very wet.
Well, Harriet was your size near enough, I'd say.
No, it's not necessary, thanks.
You take anything with your brandy?
Neat today, please.
Neat every day for me. What you said about British justice, we have let you down. I in particular.
You had a job.
Cheers.
Cheers. I upset Mrs. Pidding.
Oh, Carol Pidding is a very proper person.
So are you.
There is a devil inside me, believe me, Mrs. Muller. A devil, a Welsh devil. Don't trust me. I tend to go, well, overboard. I can be dangerous. You should know.
You savaged me.
I couldn't let you walk out into that storm. I owe you something, a warm by the fire, a drink, a few fumbling words of advice.
Fumbling?
Your predicament is, well...
Hopeless?
Difficult. Unusual for me.
Carl is divorcing me.
He has the key to all this. He must have. How can we get at him? How can you? I don't see what I can do.
Have you any children, Mr. Stockwith?
Alan. He's 18. With his mother and our dentist. Haven't seen Alan for nearly a year.
The day I got married, I was the happiest woman in the world. Everything was perfect. Married. Secure. Loved.
And the blackness, the emptiness, the dragging void when you wake in the morning.
How could you...
Imagination?
But you're so successful.
And experience. I wish I could do more for you than talk. Are you hungry?
Quite, yeah.
Well, we look in the fridge. And there are some tins and things. Come into the kitchen.
Mrs. Pidding said something about your prospects being damned.
This profession, the law, there are some fine people in it, but if you want to get to the top, you have to crawl. The profession is full of what we call, well, not very politely, arse crawlers. Does that shock you?
After all I've been through.
If you want to get on, you have to keep your nose clean. Keep a low profile. Avoid controversy. Don't offend anybody above you. Feed them with flattery.
But Mrs. Pidding's remark...
Oh, when I was young, I was a... idealist. I thought I was. I was a bit of a pompous prick, really. But I thought of myself as some sort of a knight in glinting metal. It has gone rusty. It had.
Tomato soup?
And find something else for the main course. I usually grab the nearest tin.
Oh, how disorganized.
That's me, Mrs. Muller.
You're not the same person.
Schizophrenic. Don't be taken in.
There was a bit of evidence we never used. The evening before Carl's accident, I followed him to Crosstrees. He went into a house. I went to the door and there was this woman, Irish, who said she didn't know anything about Carl. I was looking at a musical box on the mantelpiece when it dropped and broke open.
What address?
I could take you there.
But what connection?
There must be one. I've gone over everything hundreds of times.
After we've eaten, we can go and find the house. That's the least I can do.
Why do you have a sports car?
A dirty old man pretending I'm a clean one.
I used to have a Spitfire.
So did I.
I've not been in an E-Type before.
I had it done up. I'm in love with it. Smooth, silky, relaxed power, purpose. I can pass anything if I want to. I like to take the hood down and let the wind stream through my hair. All right. I know I'm nearly bald.
Oh, the house is just round the corner. On the opposite side of the road. I'm sure that's the one there.
Number 32. I know who lives there. I've seen him in the garden. And a police car outside. Detective Chief Inspector George Creeder.
Creeder?
Why should Carl go there?
I didn't think Carl knew him before the accident.
If I go and see Creeder, he'll deny it and report me to the Bar Council. If you go, he'll deny it and arrest you.
Carl.
He must know the truth.
But Switzerland.
If I go, will you give yourself up?
I speak German. I taught it.
I only speak a bit.
I know Brunscheid, where Carl had his flat.
It's far too dangerous.
My position can't get any worse. But yours, Mr. Stockwith, I've no right to ask you.
The airports will be watched. They should be. But they may not.
It would be madness. Why have we stopped?
When I cross-examined you, you said you didn't know about braking systems. Was that true?
I didn't finish the course.
Was it true?
No.
You lied.
It suddenly struck me it would go against me.
Mrs. Muller, are you innocent?
Don't you believe me?
I have to know. You lied then.
There's no way I can convince you.
I believe you.
I won't let you down.
Dad, I've never managed to fit in with a legal establishment. I've attacked it for, complacency, conformity, conservatism, delays, the old boy network, lots of things. If I sent you packing now, that would be the establishment thing to do. They would approve.
Ah, you're putting on your shining metal.
It's still a bit rusty. We'll risk it and fly to Zurich in the morning.
Oh.
If we get through, we'll hire a car. My passport still has my wife on. You could pass for her just. Tonight you'll have to stay at my place. Don't worry. There are two bedrooms.
I'll turn next up.
Just leave it to me.
He's looking at that list again.
Good morning, sir. Madam. Thank you. This lady is your wife.
Who else could she be?
Sorry, sir, I didn't mean, but I'd never have recognized you, Mrs. Stockwith.
Passport photographs.
You haven't altered, sir. Mm. You're sure this is your wife, this photograph?
No doubt whatever. I only have one wife, one at a time. Unfortunately.
Not like the Mormons, eh, lucky devils? Have a good journey.
Auf Wiedersehen, England.
That's Carl's flat. He never gave it up. We used to stay there.
You'd better sit here in the car. If you need me, pip the horn 3 times.
Oh, take care, Duffett.
Yeah?
Guten Tag, Fräulein.
I only speak English. Sorry.
Is Karl Müller in?
He won't be long. Who are you?
Are you Penny Earnshaw?
How did you know?
I'm Duffett Stockwith. I prosecuted at Jane Mueller's trial.
Oh, you better come in.
I won't keep you long. I'm here to find out more about the case. Jane may have been wrongly convicted.
Too right she was.
You know?
I'm sure she was framed. Please sit down.
What do you know?
I know Carl.
If you don't mind my asking, are you living with him?
If you can call it living.
Were you having an affair with him before the trial?
I was mad about him then. Now I can't wait to get back to England. He won't let me. He thinks I'll open my mouth.
Help me and I'll help you, Mrs. Earnshaw. Did Carl know Inspector Creeder before the accident?
I don't know, but they're very pally now.
Go on.
Carl and me, we've been living in this flat nearly 3 months, and Creeder's been to stay here twice.
Why?
Well, holidays, they said. The last time was about 2 weeks ago. He's been helping Carl with selling the musical boxes in England. Creeder was going to see a firm called Arthur Slingsby's in Hansford Bridge. Some sort of importers. But I don't know whether he did.
There's trouble.
What kind of trouble?
Stockwith. So it's you. I saw Jane in the car. You brought her. Why?
Making inquiries.
The case is finished. What have you told him, Penny?
Nothing, honestly, Carl.
You don't know anything. You're stupid, Penny. Why did you let him in?
He wanted to see you.
Well, he's seen me. Now you can get out, Stockwith. But one moment. Has Jane escaped from prison?
As a matter of fact, she has.
This is a matter for the police. You are both in much trouble now, I think.
It's an odd place to meet you, Mr. Stockwith. The Swiss police station. My orders are to take you both back to England today.
This is my fault, Inspector Creeder.
No.
I asked Mr. Stockwith to help me.
We'll go into that when we get back.
Am I to be charged?
Assisting an escaped prisoner to avoid arrest.
What's my charge?
You've long enough to do as it is, Mrs. Muller.
We'd like to sit together on the plane.
Oh, we policemen are much more human than some people give us credit for.
The sun, the cotton wool, freedom. But for how long?
I've lost mine already, again. This'll ruin you too, Duffett. I was selfish. I haven't been fair.
I've enjoyed these last 2 days.
So have I.
I did what I thought was right. Okay, it hasn't worked out. But it's been worth it somehow. More like the old days when I was young, eager, hopeful, looking forward. A spring in my step. Leaping heart.
I shall think of you every day.
Dovett! But how?
I got bail.
Oh, what a fuss there's been. In all the headlines, we had TV people here in chambers.
Were you on TV, Carol?
I sent them packing.
Very proper.
It's been embarrassing.
Should I resign from chambers?
We know you meant well.
But?
I've got them to wait till after your case.
It's a bit messy, isn't it?
I pleaded with you, David.
But I went my own sweet way.
I heard a whisper the Attorney General's coming to do the case personally.
Should I feel honored?
And CW's trying it. They're going to get it on as soon as possible to get all the embarrassment over.
Poor old establishment.
Is there any help I can give you with the trial?
I'm defending myself, and I'm working harder on this than I did on any case in my career. My inglorious career.
This is one you have to win. Be careful, David. I'll come and sit behind you in case I can help.
I saw my wife in a car outside, and when I went to my flat, Mr. Stockwith was there. So I telephoned the police.
Yes, Mr. Stockwith.
Mr. Muller, do you put yourself forward as a respectable businessman?
That is what I am.
I suggest you're a thief.
My lord, I protest.
Too soon.
Were the checks of Hartley Enterprises Music Limited signed by Mr. Hartley and yourself?
They were.
Did he sometimes sign blank checks?
Not often.
Look at this check, Mr. Muller. Made payable for cash, signed by Mr. Hartley and then yourself. Is it dated 2 days before your accident?
Yes, it is.
What was that money for?
How can I say now? It's not possible. Where are the company's books?
Here, look at them if you wish. I suggest there is nothing to show where that money went.
Mrs. Earnshaw kept the books.
Did the £2,000 go into your pocket?
I would never do that. Why should I?
When I went to your flat, Mrs. Penny Earnshaw was there. Why?
She did my secretarial work.
Was she living in the flat?
As a temporary matter, until she obtained one for herself.
Did she work for your Swiss employers?
No.
What was your position there?
I am production director.
Did you have a secretary?
Frau Kesselmann.
Does Mrs. Earnshaw speak a word of German?
She speaks only a few words.
What secretarial work did she do?
Private, personal matters.
Did she work full time?
That is correct, yes.
How much did you pay her?
That is a private matter.
Then I will not press you. I have no wish to embarrass you more than is necessary, Mr. Muller. Is it a private matter that Penny Earnshaw was your mistress?
My lord.
Yes, Mr. Attorney.
I hesitate to interrupt my learned friend, but are we not straying rather far from this case?
My lord, I'm surely entitled to attempt to impeach the credit of this witness by showing that he lied in the previous case. My learned friend, the Attorney General, was not in that case. Your lordship and I were.
That's right, Mr. Attorney, is it not? This is cross-examination as to credit.
As your lordship pleases.
Was Mrs. Earnshaw your mistress in England, Mr. Muller?
In England, never.
In Switzerland?
After we went there, we did begin a relationship. It just happened.
If there was no relationship beforehand, why did she go to Switzerland?
It just happened, my lord.
When I asked why Mrs. Earnshaw was staying in the flat, you said she did your secretarial work. Were you being frank?
I was embarrassed.
Oh, dear, I am sorry about that. Are you sure she was not your mistress long before you went to Switzerland?
Certain. I am absolutely certain.
Take these letters, please. Glance through them. Are they all in your handwriting?
Mrs. Earnshaw gave you these.
You are correct about that. Are they all dated before your wife's trial?
Apparently, that is so.
Are they love letters to Penny Earnshaw?
Sometimes I write such letters when...
To your secretary?
They are like poetry.
Ah, you are likening yourself to a poet, are you? I intend to show that you are far from that, that you are a liar and a perjurer.
My lord, there must be limits to this.
I am becoming concerned, Mr. Stockwith. This witness has given only formal evidence against you.
With respect, I am entitled to cross-examine him.
Within limits. We are not here to retry the previous case.
This case arises out of the previous case.
It may do, but nevertheless...
If your lordship will bear with me, in the present case I am charged with assisting Mrs. Muller with intent to prevent her arrest. My motive is vital. If it was to establish her innocence...
But you prosecuted her.
I would be acquitted.
Yes. But if the motive were a romantic one, then...
Different altogether. I see. Thank you. Yes, Mr. Stockwith.
Mr. Muller, did you lie when at your wife's trial you denied having an affair with Penny Earnshaw?
I was confused.
Were you lying or were you not? Yes or no?
Well, yes, but I was confused.
Are you confused now?
A little, I think, yes.
If you are in difficulty, please say so. I'm sure we will all try and help you. When did you first meet Detective Chief Inspector Creeder?
When he investigated my accident.
Hmm. Do you call him George when you speak to him? Well?
I do, yes.
On the evening before the accident, did you go out in your car?
My lord, is Mr. Stockwith eventually going to turn to the facts of this case?
This is cross-examination as to credit.
So far, we have heard nothing else.
I must insist upon my right to cross-examine this witness to show that his word is worthless.
How much longer?
For as long as it takes. With respect.
Oh, very well, Mr. Stockwith.
As your lordship pleases. Mr. Muller, did you go to Crosstrees on that evening?
It is possible to see a customer there.
Who?
I am not able to say. I must first ask his permission.
His name, please.
I do not remember it.
Then how can you ask his permission?
I had many customers, my lord.
Does the address 32 Scarcroft Road, Crosstrees, mean anything to you?
I have never heard of it.
You were seen to go there on the evening before the day of your accident.
Who saw me?
Your wife, ex-wife.
But she is a liar that was proved in this court.
Are you the person to say that, Mr. Muller? 32 Scarcroft Road is occupied by Detective Chief Inspector Creeder. Is that news to you?
I did not know Mr. Creeder until my accident.
Have you met him since your wife's trial?
Twice. He visited me in Switzerland. He was on holiday.
Did his wife go?
She was ill.
Has the Chief Inspector had anything to do with your business in Switzerland?
He is no more than a police officer.
We know he is a police officer. But he may be more than that. Have you recently sent a consignment of musical boxes to a firm of importers in Hansford Bridge, Arthur Slingsby and Company Limited?
I have nothing to do with the export side.
Look at this document. Is it an invoice from your Swiss company to Slingsby's?
It looks to be.
Examine it carefully, please.
Yes.
It appears that Slingsby's have taken the place of the Hartley Company you ran in England as importers of the musical boxes. Are you really saying this is the first time you have heard of Slingsby's?
It is true, yes.
Does it surprise you to know that the contact between the Swiss company and Slingsby's was made by George Creeder? Please, take hold of this. Is it one of your musical boxes? It came from Slingsby's. It fell off a lorry there, if I may so put it. I'm sorry to say that in front of the Attorney General.
This is one of ours.
What's happening up there, officer?
Not your turn yet, Jane. Mr. Stockwith's still cross-examining.
I'm glad I'm not on the block this time.
Yeah, better to be his witness.
On the same side, yes, much better.
Yeah, he gave that husband of yours a going over.
Good.
Yeah, I've always liked Mr. Stockwith.
I haven't. Not always.
You won't be giving evidence till tomorrow, shouldn't think so. Creeder's in the box now.
Mr. Creeder, have you on two occasions stayed in Karl Muller's flat in Zurich?
I went for holidays.
Did your wife go?
She refuses to fly.
No other reason?
No.
Hmm. Does the name Arthur Slingsby and Company Limited mean anything to you?
Oh, yes. Mr. Muller was looking for new importers, and he asked me to help. I found Slingsby's.
Who is Harry McPherson Moody?
Moody? A man with a criminal record. I've arrested him several times.
Did he buy the consignment sent to Slingsby's?
Well, I happened to meet Moody in the street. We chat to people like him to find out information. I knew Moody did some dealing, so I told him about the musical boxes. He told me later that he bought the lot.
What did you gain out of all this?
Not one penny.
Well, you were doing good turns.
No more than that.
When you contacted Slingsby's, did you go in person?
I had nothing else to do. It was my day off.
Did you use the name Harrison instead of Creeder?
As a matter of fact, I did.
What had you to hide?
Well, police officers are not supposed to take part in business.
But you weren't, were you?
It might have looked as if I was.
Is your wife Irish?
What has my wife to do with this?
My lord, what possible relevance can this have?
It has every relevance, Mr. Attorney.
And Mr. Stockwith has had every latitude.
I am on trial.
We know that.
For my liberty and my reputation.
There is no need for drama.
For me, it is drama. Will my learned friend, the Attorney General, kindly sit down and listen? Inspector Creeder, is your wife Irish?
She does come from Ireland, but what has that got to...
Has Carl Muller ever been to your house?
Once.
When?
Well, the day after the car accident. He rang and said he'd found something I wanted. A drill from his garage, I think. He said he'd be passing my house, so I asked him to drop it in. I was trying to find the drill that bored into the brake pipes, but I couldn't tie it up.
Jane Muller followed her husband to your house. It couldn't have been the day after the accident, as she was in custody. I suggest it was the evening before. An Irish lady let her in. She saw a musical box on your mantelpiece.
No, we've never had one. We aren't musical.
They are not musical instruments. Mrs. Muller says she dropped it and it broke open.
Looks too strong for that.
Shall we try an experiment?
Oh, pointless.
If your lordship would permit.
What do you say, Mr. Attorney?
My learned friend is trying to turn this case into a musical comedy.
I have no wish to emulate the House of Commons.
But if Mr. Stockwith thinks it will help him out of his difficulties...
No, my learned friend is very gracious. Where do you suggest we have the experiment, Mr. Creeder?
Oh, there's no need for one. I accept what you say. It could break open if it fell.
Is there something in this box that you don't want us to see?
Oh, ridiculous.
I'll try my nail file on the lower part.
You seem to have a certain skill in breaking into things, Mr. Stockwith.
Not on this occasion, my lord. Ah. Yeah. There. It is open. What is this packet, Mr. Creeder?
Packing?
No.
To absorb moisture?
I think not. I'll open the packet. Ah, yeah. I see. Look at this, please, Chief Inspector. Were you until recently in the drug squad?
I was.
What is this substance?
I don't know how it got there.
What is it?
It looks like heroin.
I suggest it got there in Switzerland. Before his accident, Karl Muller was importing heroin in these musical boxes. You found out. Did you?
Well, what proof do you have?
To keep you quiet, Muller agreed to split the profits with you. That's why he went to your house, to pay you the £2,000.
Rubbish.
When Mrs. Muller broke the musical box and the contents came out, you thought she'd stumbled on what you were up to. You thought she knew you lived there and she'd go to your superiors.
No, never.
So you decided to shut her mouth.
My lord, this is going too far. Mere speculation.
You didn't know her husband was going to borrow her car. It was you who bored holes in those brake pipes, Chief Inspector Creeder.
My lord, please.
After Karl Muller returned to Switzerland, you and he had to have new means of importing into England and turning the heroin into cash. That's how Slingsby's and Harry McPherson Moody were brought into it. Brought in by you.
My lord, this witness is being accused of attempted murder. Is that proper?
If the Attorney General can manage to contain himself for a moment longer. Chief Inspector Creeder, are you prepared to have all your bank accounts examined?
Why should I?
Why should you not?
My lord, I'm not feeling well.
Will your bank statement show a payment in of £2,000 on the day of Karl Muller's accident? And other substantial sums on previous occasions?
My lord, incriminating questions. I am not obliged to answer.
Well, Mr. Attorney?
I must consider the position.
The sooner the better, I think. Now, preferably. How can this trial continue?
The prosecution can no longer maintain that Mr. Stockwith's actions were intended to prevent the arrest of Jane Muller. They may well have been intended to establish her innocence. So he must be found not guilty. And in the light of what we have heard, Mrs. Muller's conviction cannot now stand. I shall ask the Home Secretary to release her today. Immediate steps will be taken to have her conviction quashed.
Stockwith, thank you for coming. I was very pleased about your acquittal today.
So was I, Judge.
And so is the Lord Chancellor's office. I've just been on the telephone with the Permanent Secretary, but he asked me to tell you. The Lord Chancellor cannot, in all circumstances, grant your application to join the circuit bench.
Really?
Your action in going to Switzerland.
I went to get justice, and I got it.
Hasty, rash, intemperate. That is the Lord Chancellor's view.
Look, Judge, you can tell the Lord Chancellor and his permanent secretary to go and jump from that ivory tower of theirs into the Thames.
Stockwith.
Singing the Eton boating song. They were both there, weren't they?
This only confirms the view.
Singing it in Latin. Or better still, Greek.
You haven't brought me a brief this time, Carol.
I've come to tell you that Creed has been arrested. Mm. He's confessed.
Don't say somebody's verbaled him. I've been turned down for a circuit judgeship.
Oh, no, Duffy.
The Lord Chancellor thinks I'm unbalanced. He's right, of course.
You can stay on at the bar.
Oh, no. I've had enough. I'm going to emigrate. West Cork.
Not to live there.
It's idyllic. The scenery, the silent beaches, Gulf Stream sun, palm trees. Wonderful people. A sailor's paradise. And writers don't pay income tax. I'm going to write my memoirs. Take the lid off the whole legal setup, the whole can of worms.
You're one of them.
The worm that turned.
Are you going to Ireland on your own?
Well, I have a short list. You're at the top. Well, come with me, Carol. Hibernian rapture. I'll write before sunrise. I'll let you make my breakfast.
Oh, that's good of you.
Long walks in the sunset.
You haven't changed.
Oh, yes, I have.
How could I leave Cuthbert?
As Harriet left me, without warning.
I'll give you one guess.
One? I still have more than one string to my bow.
You balding Beau Brummel.
Ah, so, two people. Come in.
I had to thank you again, David.
Oh, you brought Helmut. Hello, Helmut.
Say hello to Uncle David.
So, you're going to live in England, Helmut. Sensible boy.
David is about to leave it. Oh, where to? Mrs. Muller. You've walked straight into his trap. A different trap this time, but just as dangerous. Trap? He'll use your son. David Stockworth has no scruples whatsoever.
I came to thank David. He saved my life. And Helmut, the setting is perfect.
Carol is trying to tell you I'm an unscrupulous seducer.
I don't think so.
All right, scrupulous.
She's right, Jane. I fall in love with women.
Leave now, Mrs. Muller. He will ruin your life. He is so very, very devious.
Mrs. Carol Pidding, QC, is giving you good advice, Jane. Whether she did so before, I do not know. But she is correct now. You are in real danger. I know it would seem idyllic. The living and loving and exploring. The yearning and giving and sharing.
Here he goes.
But in the end...
Yes?
You'd be sucked dry and cast aside like a sucked out orange.
Don't tell him the idea appeals to you.
Seriously, Jane, all joking aside, I do like you. I did enjoy our trip. It was great. It's been a watershed, whatever that is, in my life. I'm going to live in Ireland.
Oh.
Mm. At one time, I'd have thought of nothing else but enticing you to come with me. But I'm getting a little wiser in my dotage. It wouldn't be good for you.
Watch it, Jane.
You must leave now, before another word is said. You'll rebuild your life, find a younger, better man than me, a better father.
Wicked, wicked. David, you're assuming an awful lot, you know.
Hmm?
Who said I fancied you? Oh, I'm grateful. Yes, very. But, as you said, you're much too old for me.
No.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Good girl.
I'll always be grateful. I'll tell it all to Helmut. We'll send you a Christmas card.
You're not going?
I've arranged to see my father to celebrate.
Oh, give him my regards.
Come on, Helmut. Off we go. Goodbye, David.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Helmut. Goodbye, Jane.
Well, there it is.
I never felt so much for any woman in my life.
You'll find some Irish Colleen. I'll miss you, David.
You'll be head of chambers.
It won't be the same without you.
Oh. My regards to Cuthbert.
Uh-uh.
Who this time?
The next one on the list?
I don't want the next one.
David.
Jane.
You didn't call me back.
not this time.
Helmut and I have a present for you.
Oh, what?
Ourselves.
The Cross-Examiner was written by James Pickles, with Anthony O'Donnell as David Stockwith, QC. The cast, Carol Pidding, QC, Narissa Knights. Jane Muller, Carolyn Pickles. Carl Muller, William Hope. Inspector Creeder, John Forbes Robertson. Mr. Justice Carter White, Peter Copley. Larry Hartley and Attorney General, Jack Harding. Penny Earnshaw, Melinda Walker, and Detective Sergeant Henson, Hilary Newcomb. Other parts were played by Christopher Douglas and Diane Collett. The programme was directed in Bristol by Brian Miller.